Page 117. Now that we have stated Lindeberg's theorem, let us make a couple of remarks which might help the understanding, help us understand Lindeberg's condition and the statement of Lindeberg's theorem, and why it is so sharp. So here's the remark. So the meaning of Lindeberg's condition, so the condition pentagram or the condition star from the previous page, is that in some sense the summons xi and k are negligibly tiny compared to the sum Sn. In particular, Lindeberg's condition implies that the limit as n goes to infinity, if you consider the maximum of the variances that appear in the nth row, so the sigma square nk, but you divide it by the total variance, sigma square n, and you take the maximum for all values of k that appear in the nth universe, then as you let n go to infinity, this thing goes to zero. So this is the property indexed by capital A. Also, I will denote it by condition at sign or this wiggly thing. But let me stress that this property follows from Lindeberg's condition, but it is weaker, so it's not equivalent to it. It is only a corollary, but it's easier, it's shorter, and it's easier to remember. So let's prove this. So let's prove that this property, capital A, in the box, follows from Lindeberg's condition. So of course, as we mentioned before, it's okay to assume by scaling that sigma square n is equal to 1, and it's okay to assume that the expected value of xi and k is equal to 0. We already discussed this at the bottom of the previous page. So, in order to show that this ratio, or the maximum of these ratios, converges to zero, then it's enough to prove that for any epsilon, the lim sup is less than or equal than epsilon squared. So this is going to be a condition capital B, or statement capital B. If we prove this for any epsilon, then we are done proving what we want to prove now. And the proof is rather easy. So let's consider sigma squared nk, which is by definition the expected value of xi squared nk, since it has zero expectation, so the variance is equal to the second moment. And then let me try to explain why this equation indexed by capital C holds. So this expected value is equal to those two other expected values by the linearity of expectation on the one hand, but also you use that if you look at the indicator of an event and you add to it the indicator of the complement event, then the sum of these two indicators is just equal to 1. And in our case, this event is the event that xi and k absolute value is less than or equal than epsilon, and the complement event is the event that xi and k absolute value is greater than epsilon. So equation C holds. Now look at the first term on the right-hand side of equation C. I claim that that's less than or equal than epsilon squared. That's pretty simple, because if you assume that xi and k absolute value is less than or equal than epsilon, then its square is less than or equal than epsilon squared. So if you take the expectation, then it's going to be less than epsilon squared. So therefore, the maximum... now I'm explaining equation indexed by capital E. So if you take this maximum of the individual variances, sigma square and k, and the maximum is over all possible values in the kth universe, then this equation indexed by capital E holds, Because, well, the first term, so I'm just looking at the equation above, and I just bound by epsilon square the first term, and then you instead of taking the maximum of the possible values of the second term, I certainly upper bound it by, if I, instead of the maximum, I take the sum. The maximum of certain quantities is less than or equal to their sum. So that's why the inequality index by capital E holds. But this complicated looking second term, so this sum of these truncated second moments, this goes to zero by Lindeberg's condition. Therefore, we did manage to prove equation indexed by capital B above for any particular positive value of epsilon. And therefore, the whole statement follows by Lindeberg's and then the statement indexed by capital A holds.